This message comes from Capital One. Your business faces unique challenges and opportunities. That's why Capital One offers a comprehensive suite of financial services backed by the strength of a top 10 commercial bank. Visit CapitalOne.com/commercial. Member FDIC.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Shea Stevens. A search and recovery operation resumes in a few hours for six workers missing from a bridge collapse in Baltimore. The full scope of the disruption to shipping and road traffic has yet to be fully realized. NPR's Laura Walmsley spoke with one man who's shaken by the disaster.
Joshua Ribeiro was working on a construction project in the area.
And all of a sudden we heard what we thought was a tornado, but it was really a big bang. And we all went outside, but we couldn't really see anything.
Later, he found out that it was an enormous container ship hitting the bridge he drives over all the time.
Scary because I could have been on that bridge.
The tens of thousands who use that bridge every day are just beginning to find out what this is going to mean for the foreseeable future. Ribeiro says that his drive usually takes 21 minutes.
Now I think it's going to take an hour. That's why I'm actually here, because I looked at the traffic and it says all red. So I'm just going to wait, look around, see what's going on, pray for the people.
Laurel Walmsley, NPR News, Dundalk, Maryland.
The U.S. Supreme Court is deciding whether the Food and Drug Administration was wrong to expand access to the abortion pill mifepristone. Justice Amy Coney Barrett questioned one example that a plaintiff used to illustrate complications with the drug. As NPR's Nina Totenberg reports, Barrett pointed out that mifepristone is not used only for abortion.
Barrett, a mother of seven who herself suffered miscarriages, wasn't the only justice to ask medical questions. Indeed, all four of the female justices asked detailed questions that likely would not have been asked at the Supreme Court prior to the appointment of the first woman in 1981. Questions about ultrasound tests and why they are not required prior to getting the pill, or about the FDA's findings that prescriptions after telemedicine or phone appointments produced no uptick in emergency room visits.
NPR's Nina Totenberg reporting. A Russian court has once again extended the detention of Wall Street Journal reporter Evan Gershkovich, this time until the end of June. As NPR's Charles Maines reports from Moscow, the ruling comes nearly a year to the day that Gershkovich was detained on charges of spying.
Gershkovich was detained while on a reporting assignment in Russia's Ural Mountains in March of last year and later accused of trying to obtain state secrets. Gershkovich, the journal, and the U.S. government all vehemently reject the spying allegations, noting he was working in Russia with official press accreditation from the foreign ministry. In a statement, U.S. Ambassador to Russia Lynn Tracy called the latest extension particularly painful, noting Gershkovich had now spent a year in jail on fictional charges and accused Russia of holding Americans as pawns for political aims. The Biden administration says it's made several prisoner swap offers to secure Gershkovich's release, only to see them rejected by the Kremlin. Charles Maines, NPR News, Moscow.
U.S. futures are slightly higher in after-hours trading. This is NPR News. The top law enforcement official in Texas has reached a deal that allows him to avoid securities fraud charges. Prosecutors say they'll dismiss three felony counts if Ken Paxton completes the terms of the deal announced Tuesday at a hearing in Houston. The end of his case comes less than a year after Paxton was acquitted of corruption charges. Donald Trump hopes to capitalize on the deterioration of relations between Democrats and Israel's prime minister. NPR's Franco Ordonez reports on how U.S. support for the war in Gaza has fractured Democrats along political and religious lines.
Former President Donald Trump sent shockwaves through the Jewish American community and Washington when he said Jews who vote Democrat hate Israel. It's not the first time Trump has dabbled in what critics say are anti-Semitic tropes. Norm Ornstein, a senior fellow at the Conservative American Enterprise Institute, says the language reflects how far Trump is willing to go to try to pick up Jewish voters.
The idea is that if Jews care about Israel, they're going to want to go for the strongest supporter.
Trump also likes to point out his work on behalf of Israel, including moving the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem. But a large majority of American Jews continue to support Democrats. And Jewish American groups say the rhetoric solidifies opposition to him. Franco Ordonez, NPR News.
A British court is letting WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange appeal his extradition to the United States. Assange is wanted on espionage charges over government secrets he published in 2010 and 2011. This is NPR News.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Mint Mobile. From the gas pump to the grocery store, inflation is everywhere. So Mint Mobile is offering premium wireless starting at just $15 a month. To get your new phone plan for just $15, go to mintmobile.com/switch.